Tax Off Campus Podcast, willkommen zurück. Schön, dass ihr wieder dabei seid. Im CMS-Umfeld hört man heutzutage viele neue Begriffe wie Decoupled und Headless. Was bedeuten diese Begriffe? Welche Technologien stehen dahinter? Und vor allen Dingen, was bringen Headless-CMS-Systeme gegenüber herkömmliche Systeme? Heute rede ich mit Knut Melver, Head of Developer Relations bei Sanity.io. Früher war Knut Senior Technology Consultant bei NetLife, ein renommiertes norwegisches UX- und Design-Agency. Er gibt einen Einblick in die Veränderungen im CMS-Umfeld und welche Vorteile solche Änderungen mit sich bringen. Bei diesem Podcast werden wir das Gespräch auf Englisch führen. Ich freue mich auf das Gespräch mit ihm. Und wie immer, wenn ihr Themen habt, die ihr gerne in einem Podcast beleuchtet haben möchtet, schickt uns eine E-Mail an podcast@taxsoft.com. Yeah, hi Knut. Good to see you.
Hello, good to be here.
Yeah, thanks very much for making time to talk to us. We have a very interesting topic today, which is going to be all around headless CMSs, or maybe not just around headless CMSs, but all of the other things to do with that. So I'm looking forward to hearing about that from you. So yeah, I mean, we hear on the marketplace, yeah, headless CMS, decoupled systems and so on. My first question, before we talk about anything around the technology, why is there a need for a change in the whole CMS space? Like, is there a change in the business context? Is it to do with digital transformation? What's like the driver, independent now of the technology? What's been the driver behind that sort of change?
Yeah, I think perhaps you said it, like digital transformation. Like, pretty much every company is starting to become somewhat of a software company now, it seems. That's a broad generalization, but it's kind of true. And with that, you get both expectations, like you are supposed to deliver kind of like a digital experience, even though if you sell physical goods, right, there has to be a representation of those on the web and apps and stuff. So that means there's a need for content to be in more than one place, more than in your kind of like digital magazine, right? It needs to be in several places, even within a website. It needs to be kind of like float around on the website in different paths and so on. So I think kind of like a more complex content requirement thing is a driver. But also the very nature of like everything is turning into an API that you can kind of like plug into somewhere and make systems talk to each other and so on. So the whole API-driven thing is also driving this, I think, the composables and all of that, those buzzwords, yeah.
Yeah, big back to the digital transformation and the content. Obviously, people want to access content from a Mac, from a PC browser, from an iPad, from a tablet, from mobile phones. I think there's been it, or there are new requirements on what's the form factor, or what's the channel that I can use in order to present the content to my consumer, my end user. So that's, yeah, I think we'll come back to that whole content piece
for
later on. I'm sure that, yeah, exactly. That was one of the things that we chatted about earlier on, yeah. So start off then with headless CMS. I think everyone knows what a CMS, content management system. So what's the big deal? What's a headless CMS is the first question. And the second question, yeah, no, I'll stick with the first question first. Yeah. So what's a headless CMS?
Yeah, I guess, what's up with all of this like lacking heads? I don't know, yeah. But maybe we should start with what is it?
Like,
what is even a CMS,
chickens, yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Okay. So CMS, many of you who listen might know already, but it's short for content management system. Interestingly, the things we tend to call CMSs are probably more web publishing systems. There's not a lot of content management, but you stick, when content is done, you stick the content into them and they are able to put it out on the web, right? So many people have used WordPress. I think like it's like 43% of the web is run on WordPress. And if you have used WordPress, you have like a dashboard in your browser where you can like can copy paste your content into, or even type it sometimes, and hit publish, and WordPress has some PHP code that spits this out to HTML on a website. And that's kind of like the common mental model for a CMS. In kind of like computer lingo, when we talk about heads, we're talking about, does it have a graphical interface that we can interact with? Mm-hmm. And I haven't been able to figure out who actually coined this term, but for some reason, someone at some point decided, what if we didn't actually have like this render thing, this machine that spits out HTML in the CMS, but only so-called APIs that we can consume mm-hmm. elsewhere by another machine that kind of did that work. And that would be headless because you have all of the content management and all of that stuff going on, but no way to actually render the content in a way that can be presented somewhere. So that's kind of like basically it.
So then it's really, it's content management with a focus on content and not content and rendering / display.
Exactly. Yeah? So there's no code to actually render it. Just render, kind of like an information feed, right? Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So I've now chopped my head off. Yeah. I'm now headless. Okay. So I still have the content in my body. How do I then extract that content from the headless system? What's like the technology or the way of doing that so that I can then actually display that content out to my consumer, my end user?
Yeah, so the way headless CMSs tend to interface with other applications is through API. An API is mm-hmm. basically means application programming interface, right? It's it's a way for developers to get hold of a list, mm-hmm. and that list holds data or your content. Mm-hmm. So a headless CMS will typically expose those on a URL, like we can, mm-hmm. like what you type into a browser, and it returns some kind of like a JSON list or an XML if you're really unlucky, mm-hmm. And then you can take that into whatever front end technology you use, or if you are using, like if you're making an Apple app or Android, whatever it is, most kind of like programming frameworks are able to deal with these lists in certain ways.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so those APIs give me the access to the content, and let's say my subject matter experts, my iOS developer, my Android developer, he can concentrate on using, let's say, using his technologies or the technology of choice in order to render and display that information.
Ideally, they are. That depends on what actually is baked into that API, right? And what data you get.
Okay.
Yeah, I just added a pretty hefty footnote to this, but yeah.
okay, we'll come back to that.
Yeah.
So I've chopped my head off, I'm headless, I've got this API. But let's say I had an old CMS, or I'll call them old, say it's WordPress, or say it's Drupal or whatever, yeah? Why can't I just add an API to an existing CMS system?
You absolutely can.
Okay.
Yeah, and people do.
So it's not a choice of saying, I have to buy a new headless CMS if I want to do the, let's say, the decoupling of the content from the rendering. I can do it through putting an API onto an existing CMS system. Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. And this is an interesting thing because as we will touch on many times throughout this conversation, I suspect, is that headless CMS, well, that's kind of not the interesting part. Because as you say, like the old monolithic CMSs has started to add APIs as well. Like WordPress, you can totally kind of like tack on a GraphQL API to WordPress and get all of those kind of like benefits of a headless CMS. And what you see in the marketing for the old CMSs, quotation mark, is that they say, oh, yeah, we also have decoupled. We also have APIs. You get kind of like the best of two worlds. You get everything. So you should just keep using these things instead of like go to the headless CMS thingies that are immature and who knows what they are up to, right? So you can totally have APIs for old CMSs and get pretty much a lot of the same things. That being said, there are some differences. Typically, if you look at the market and the vendors, typically, not always, a headless CMS will be a hosted solution. So that means that they take care of everything. You don't have to worry about maintaining a database and all of those. Like you log into a web browser, you have your kind of like dashboard thingy, you can kind of like click and drag your content models and so on, and you get these endpoints, and you don't usually have to worry about scaling and like accept kind of like what you have to invoice. They will invoice you, right? But yeah, you do, typically all CMSs, you have to host them somewhere, you have to kind of like maintain them and so on, and some of them also provides that for you, but to a price. So so yeah, that might also be kind of a difference. Another thing is that Helles CMSs typically have kind of like, it's easier to get started, and they are often kind of like better integrated towards the kind of front-end tooling that we are used to using today. So there's some kind of like, there might be better developer experience, as we say, with Helles CMSs, mm-hmm. In some cases, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Can you give some examples of headless CMS vendors? So people know the WordPress, the Drupal, let's say the monolithic ones. Yeah, one of them is Sanity.io. I mean, that's fine. But what's because you said there are vendors on the market. People look at them and say, "Oh, they're immature." So what's happened in terms of headless vendors, headless CMS vendor? I now have this image of everybody not having a head when they're doing their development. Yeah. So what's like happening on the marketplace in terms of the vendors coming onto the marketplace?
Yeah. Yeah, so I think they have been around for almost 10 years now.
Wow.
The most common ones, like Contentful, is one of the ones that have been kind of like on the market the longest, and it's kind of like probably one of the most established. But you also have like a ton of others, like Prismic and Dado CMS and Stripe and Storyblock and Webinny and so on and so forth. If you go to hellescms.org, there's kind of like a bunch of them. You can get lost pretty quickly.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So there's certainly a choice for people who would want to then look at the headless CMS. There's a choice of vendors that people can get. And what I'm hearing from you that there's also a maturity there as well. Maybe we'll come back to that one in a second. Yeah. Content. Yeah. So you've mentioned it. You're smart when you mentioned it. Do people need developers or let's say marketeers, product owners need to think differently then about the way they structure their content? And I'll ask that question in two ways, either with a headless CMS or without a headless CMS. What's sort of the content driver there?
You're kind of like pointing at the crux of the matter now, because well, they don't actually need to. What a lot of the Helles CMSs has kind of like done is to pretty much try and recreate the editor experience of the old CMSs. So if you look at the marketing again, the old CMSs would say, oh, you don't get kind of like preview with this new headless CMSs because it's detached, it's decoupled. While we are in control of the presentation layer, we can easily kind of like generate a preview for you before you actually publish the thing, right? And that was kind of lacking in the headless CMS space for a while, but now like the headless CMSs has sort of like recreated that experience and included it, so you can kind of like can put a preview into it, or they have actually also started to kind of like experiment with kind of like inline page visivig editing. It's kind of like technologically it's detached, but you can kind of like bring your front end in and you can kind of like feed data into it and kind of like operations as well. So it's interesting to see how these things move, but they are pretty focused on the idea of publishing a website still. And there are some different, like, so logging into Helles CMS, it's pretty much the same, kind of like we have the fields and a bit of SEO and the slugs, like kind of the same affordances that you recognize from traditional CMSs. They will even store HTML into your rich text and stuff. So you even get HTML out of the API, and then you have to kind of like inject that awkwardly in your React front end or whatever. So there's still a lot of like the same assumptions going on, and I'm going somewhere with this, right? So
I hope so, because I'm struggling now to understand. So, hey, where is the difference?
In exactly. Where is the difference? Yeah. It's kind of like we have asked ourselves that too. And this is not going to be a product pitch, but it goes to kind of like the philosophy of how we should think about digital content in this kind of like this age, whatever. And the reason we made Sanity was that the Hellacy messes had like took with them all of these assumptions and stuck HTML or Markdown into your APIs. And when you got them on the other side, it was kind of like not ideal. Like you couldn't actually treat content as data, which was we thought was the promise. So making Sanity, we didn't go about making a Hellacy mess. We went about making a system for structured content. And that requires you to think differently about content and not think about the content as purely marketing. It's actually expressing the reality of your organization. So if you are e-commerce, it includes kind of like product descriptions and all of those things. And if you start to think about content in that way, you get much more out of it. And you are able to do very cool things that even powers marketing. So, for example, being able to send out a newsletter and be super sure that all of the product names and prices are actually correct without having to copy paste it all over the place, right? Things like that is possible if you think about content not as like your website, but this is our world expressed in a digital format, and we can compose it in different ways.
Yeah. So if I understood you correctly, I have my content as data. I have a single source. So I have a single source of truth. As you say, I don't have any copy and paste errors. And then I have the power to say, okay, I will use this content, your example, for a newsletter, or I will use it for a website or for a blog or whatever it is. But always the content is coming from the same place, the content management system. Yeah. So you have the power of choosing, let's say, how you want to develop, how to pass that content on to your end user without having to worry about, oh yeah, I need to copy and paste it now, or have I got the correct version of the price list or whatever it is. Okay, got it. Yeah, okay. Now it's becoming clear. So
I also feel a mistake. Like you can bring this kind of thinking to traditional CMSs and headless as well. In the Drupal world, for example, like kind of like taking the structured content approach is more common because Drupal kind of like lends you affordances for that. However, you will always find these kind of like website assumptions in these systems.
So can you give some examples of projects, maybe don't name the actual companies, but examples of projects who've, I say, taking the paradigm shift towards structuring content and then using a headless CMS to render and display that content. Are there any cool, good examples out there of companies that have done that?
So many cool examples. Yes, we have a bunch of customers who like do really cool things. Take one of the largest like quick service food restaurant chains, which is not a clown. So they take all of their menu items, all of their like the food thingies, the variations over menu items and or offerings, as we call them. All the restaurants with their locations and descriptions and whatnot, and all of like the marketing stuff, like campaigns and so on. And they stick it into a certain system that I'm representing. And then they integrate kind of like back office systems that are able to kind of like augment those menu items with allergens, because it's super important that those allergens follow the menu items correctly, right? So you don't order something you can't actually eat. And then they have kind of like this API to query, we call it the burger graph, but like they can query all of this stuff and bring it out to their website, of course, but also their apps and tasks and so on and so forth. And that shows you how you have kind of like translated your organizational reality, kind of like your thing into structured content, and we were able to leverage that in super interesting ways.
Okay.
Yeah.
From a developer perspective, so you said headless CMSs have APIs. We all know there's APIs for everything out there. Yeah. So are there any, let's say, specific challenges for a developer to use the APIs that a headless CMS exposes, or is it, in quotes, just another API? Not meant negatively at all, but in terms, you know, let me rephrase it. Are there any specific difficult things that developers need to think about when using headless CMS APIs?
Yeah. So I guess on two accounts, so going from a more traditional CMS to a headless CMS, I think the traditional CMSs will kind of like have your back a bit more because they know more of the, like, it's a simpler model. Like, if you know about the presentation and everything in the universe, you're able to kind of like see across and so on, right? So when you decouple the front end from the back end, like, the back end doesn't know what happens in the front end. Like, so you have to probably take some measures, like internal linking isn't always supported in the CMS. So you have to kind of like watch for link breakage. And like, there's kind of like those small gnarly problems that you might not think of before you are there. That being said, if you're making a website, usually you would use some kind of framework, and there has been a lot of great kind of like maturing in the framework scene lately as well. So we also see that different frameworks in combination with kind of like these new hosting solutions like Netlify and Vercel and so on have started to kind of like take care of more of those concerns. Like, they will like, don't rebuild your site if there's something that's breaking, and I will try to generate most of the things statically before it goes on the web and so on. So, I think there's a bit more to kind of like take care of that you might get out of the box with a traditional CMS, but those, we have started to close the gaps on those things as well going forward. And within the headless CMS world, it's interesting because I haven't seen a lot of talk about this, but like how the APIs look is quite different, and how intentional the vendors has been by making those APIs. So often when I go on a competitor journey, like an exploration, like I will find like, oh, you have so much craft coming out of your API. It's like, there's a lot of unnecessary things I have to deal with. Like, the content is actually like, in a GraphQL API, it's like super nested. I have to kind of drill down a lot of times to actually get to what I want. And I can't actually decide the shape of this data structure that I want. Of course, with sanity, you can. But yeah, so the developer experience aren't always awesome, even though it's an API, because you have to do weird things. And then you hit some HTML in there. And if you're using React, you have to kind of like inject that into dangerously set inner HTML. And you can't actually do something with it. Or we have to start to kind of like deserialize HTML. And who wants to spend time doing that? So yeah, there's some difference in quality, I think. Obviously,
but on the other hand, developers like challenges, and they like they like to be able to do cool things. So let's take the scenario. I've built over the last 10 years, I'll say, my whole website experience on Drupal. I'll just take it as an example. If I came to the choice, then okay, Drupal is understood, now have APIs that I can use. So if I was faced with the choice, or posed myself the question, do I migrate my data? I'm not sure if migrate is the right word. I'm sure that you'll correct me there. Do I migrate my data from Drupal into a headless system and, in quotes, start from scratch? Or do I make the decision, no, I'll use the APIs that Drupal have or offer me and continue down that path? I'm not sure if it's an easy question to answer, but how do you sort of make those type of decisions? Stick with what I've got and use the way that the traditional, in quotes, CMSs are evolving, versus make a bold step, big step, towards a headless CMS.
Yeah. I will try not to say it depends, but of course it does, right?
Thank you. We hate that answer. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. So with Drupal, I guess you have kind of like a self-hosting situation, right? And that might be fine. Like your website might not have that much traffic and so on, and it can just sit on a server and be okay. And if you have to kind of like want to kind of like carefully go out in the waters without kind of like getting your head under, it might be okay to just kind of like install the Drupal GraphQL plugin, whatever it is, and start kind of like figuring it out and connecting it to a new front end framework you want to learn or something. I think that's a reasonable way to kind of like get started. It's interesting with the migration thing, and yeah, I think migration is an okay word for it, because sometimes we get kind of like this answer, like your question, how do I migrate my WordPress website into Sanity? And we realize, yeah, I can, but probably you should take the opportunity to restructure your content and not bring the same content notes over. And that is a bit of work. That might be kind of like, you might be able to script some of that. Some of that might be like hire some interns for 2 weeks and just have them kind of like manually do the operation. Next year, there might be an AI that helps us with this. Who knows, right? But yeah, you might want to get to take the opportunity to kind of like rethink your content reality, right? So, but that's work. But we think it's worth it.
I was just going to say, I mean, the content theme keeps coming out over and over again. So it's not, is it CMS A better than CMS B? Yeah. It's more the thinking about the structured content, the power of having structured content. And as we said before, that single source of data or a single source of truth. So, yeah, I mean, I get you. Why migrate the format of data that I have in my old system? Why just migrate it into a new system? Yeah, at the end of the day, you don't gain anything. So as you say, it's more the question: take a step back, think about the content structure and how I want to use that content. And as we said, because of the new channels and digital transformation and so on. Yeah,
it's like we have had databases for a while. And databases are great for, like, they work pretty well. We can do a lot of interesting things with them. For some reason, when it comes to content, we haven't been able to bring kind of like those database affordances to them, right? You kind of like, you ask for an article and you get an article back and that's it. So I think kind of like asking yourself, like, what would I do if I could actually query my content in different ways and shape kind of like the outcome and so on? What opportunities and possibilities would that lend me? And then kind of like find a system that accommodates that. I would think like that instead, because it's not really about kind of like the technology, right? It's about what you want to make and how fast you can make it and how effortless it is.
And exploring those new opportunities, as you say, thinking different about the way that I can use that. So let's go back to the developer piece. We talked about the APIs, and you said about some of the things that developers need to think about. So if a developer wants to, actually two questions. The first one, if a developer wants to understand more about, okay, so how do these things work from a technology point of view, not just the hosting of it, but as we said before, the API, are there pointers of places where a developer can go to have a look and, I don't know, get the 101 on headless CMS APIs? Yeah, like, is there a community out there? Are there resources out there? Are there quick starts and so on? What's sort of that community aspect like?
Yes, there's so much because I think it's probably a good time in a way to be a developer, because the way all of these headless CMS vendors, including ourselves, who aren't calling us a headless CMS, but like we are compared to it a lot of the time, the way we do marketing and for the developer audience is by making educational content. It's by kind of like, this is how you should think about it. this is how you actually use it. This is how you actually connect it to the popular technologies and frameworks you like. We will tell you, and we will actually pay Google to show up in the search results to tell you these things. So there's no problem of like getting to tutorials and guides and whatnot and vendors who try to actually educate you. But yeah, also know that's vendors trying to educate you, of course, to use their thing, which is kind of like the thing, but yeah. Most of the educational content I see out there is kind of like useful and correct and so on. So it's kind of like search for headless CMS and there you go, probably. Or how to headless CMS, I don't know, but yeah.
Yeah, so Knut, what I'm hearing from you is that there's enough developer resources out there, somebody who wants to go and understand how these things work or what to do, they don't have to worry, there's enough resources out there, yeah? Yeah. If I sort of recap, when I was thinking about this podcast, I had headless CMS in my mind, yeah, and technologies and asking lots of questions about APIs and stuff like that. But I think the key thing that you've brought across in this podcast is, yes, sure, the technologies are there, but think about the content, the structured content. And I think the provocative question is, does a headless CMS solve my problem? No, it's a technology, but you need to think about other things when you're actually making that move, the migration piece that we talked about as well. Yeah, yeah, cool. Knut, that was fascinating, really interesting. I've certainly learned a lot, and I'm sure that the people listening to the podcast will have learned a lot. You've certainly opened my eyes around all these things, and I'm sure that the audience listening will have a lot of things to think about, particularly about structure of content, if I can say that at the very end. Yeah, lovely.
Yeah, I hope so. Yeah,
I'm sure they will. Great. Many, many thanks for your time, Knut, and catch you again. Yeah, have a good day. Yeah.
Thanks so much for having me.
Cheers. Take care. Bye.
Bye.
TaxOff Campus Podcast. Der Podcast für Software- und IT-Professionals. Im TaxOff Campus Podcast beschäftigen wir uns mit einem breiten Themenspektrum, um euch zu helfen. Praxisfragen zu Technologie, aber genauso Fragen zu Umsetzung, Prozessen oder Projektorganisation. Danke, dass ihr dabei wart. Euer TaxOff Campus Podcast-Team.